Today, we realize what Jesus has done for us. We can't really love the Lord unless we know what He gave for us. You know, as I grow older, I appreciate more and more what my parents have done for me, and teachers from the past, and friends from the past. How much they gave, how much they sacrificed so that I could have what I have. Likewise, as I enter the priesthood and continue forward, I appreciate more and more the priests and the faculty members that formed me during those years. I see more and more what they have done for me. And should I not likewise love Christ more as I grow in knowledge of how He has loved me over the course of my life and even before I existed? We have been desensitized, I think, in many ways to the cross, how terrifying it was, how terrifyingly violent it was. But it's not even the fact that He endured such suffering for us which most shows Christ's love for us. Rather, He chose to undergo this death for us because we were dead, because we had no hope of reaching eternal life. He chose to come among us and suffer with us and at our hands to die for our sake, so that we would have the opportunity to come into His kingdom. Understand, He didn't owe us this. He didn't need us. He could have been perfectly content without us, but because He cares for us and loves us, He chose to die at the hands of sinners in this terrible way. Do we accept the fact that He did this freely for us? As we heard in Isaiah, He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, knowing pain, like one from whom you turn your face, spurned, and we held Him in no esteem. Yet it was our pain that He bore. Our sufferings He endured. We thought of Him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted, but He was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By His wounds, we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, all following our own way, but the Lord laid upon Him the guilt of us all. Though harshly treated, He submitted and did not open His mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep silent before shearers, He did not open His mouth. He was given a grave among the wicked, a burial place with evildoers, though He had done no wrong, and nor was deceit found on His mouth. These words from Isaiah of the suffering servant, I think, help us to see what Jesus endured for us. Have we recognized our guilt? That we too have blood on our hands. It's not just someone else from the past who has sinned. We too are culpable. I too am a sinner. Until I accept that fact, that I need a Savior, I exclude myself from Christ's salvation. Every one of us must seek the Lord's mercy, and the Lord freely gives it to us. This is the good news, that I deserve death and punishment, and yet God spares me. And the Father sent the Son to die in my place, and the Son willingly died for my sake. This is the kind of love that the Lord has for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Today on Good Friday, we have an opportunity to realize God's great love and mercy for us, to see our sins as the cause of Christ's death, and we have the opportunity to express our sorrow and our desire to be transformed. That's the first step, to recognize that we are sinful and to ask God's mercy. Once we seek that, then we can move on to Easter, when we glory in the cross, not as an instrument of death, but of life. But without Good Friday, there is no Easter morning. And that's why we call this day good, Good Friday. because this is the day that Jesus accomplished our redemption. Where does this leave us? It leaves us with the question of what is our response to Jesus' actions? It's not a matter of Christian guilt, right? We aren't trying to dole out a guilt trip here. Rather, we are simply recognizing the reality which is that we would have no hope without Christ. And we still have no hope if we live outside of Him. Therefore, we must decide whether to take a new life in Christ, to start that life anew in Christ. We must decide whether to lay aside our sins or to continue in them. Today, as we come forward to venerate the cross, we are saying to the Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I want to live a life that is transformed, a life given over to you, since you gave yourself for me. If we don't believe that, if we don't intend to live this life in Christ, Jesus allows us that freedom. He allows us the freedom to remain in our sins and to go our own way. But He also invites us. He invites us to live a new life, redeemed by His blood. By coming forward to show our love for the Lord, we are showing the Lord that we want a life rooted in Him, that we want to uproot sin and to show our sorrow for our sins. We show by coming forward that we recognize our need for a Savior and that we want to share in His life. Final note, I've sat in the confessional here and other places, and I've heard of many of your burdens and your crosses. Many here carry great weights. There have been and still are many saints who endure great sufferings with joy, not because they like to suffer, but because they feel privileged that Jesus has asked them to share in His own passion. When we live a life in Christ, our own hardships can become redemptive. Our own struggle can become a sharing in the passion of the Lord. We often call these things our crosses. What is your cross? Jesus invites us to walk with Him in our crosses. These crosses can help us die in this life so that we can live with Christ in the next. These crosses grow our love. They test our patience. They allow us to show our belief. For us who believe, every suffering is an opportunity to show the Lord that we do love Him. What are your burdens? What are your crosses? What are your sins? As you come forward, lay these things down here at the cross. Let your burdens fall on Jesus. Let your sins die here at the foot of the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.